We are the only minority group that you can join overnight.
From Overnight Productions.
In the twinkling of an eye, in fact.
On its way, the march stopped outside Prime Minister Thatcher's residence in Downing Street.
I grew up black. I've been discriminated against all my life. For somebody to discriminate against me because I'm gay is a joke.
People assume that as a feminist, I'm going to do a lot of anti-male humor. I don't really know him that well to make jokes about him.
When people see people who are fearless coming, they get out of the way.
I went back to having mutual oral sex with this man. And then all of a sudden I looked up again and there was this officer standing in my bedroom door.
Where will you be when they come?
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Chad outlaws same-gender sex. Cherokee Nation marriage inequality is declared unconstitutional. And flashbacks from 1988 bring the news up to date. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending December 17th, 2016. Chad has become the 77th country in the world to make private consensual adult same-gender sex a crime. Those provisions, part of a new criminal code impacting the Central African country's 13 million people, passed overwhelmingly in Parliament this week. President Idriss Deby is expected to formally approve the new laws. The country's current criminal code is a remnant of its time as a French colony. Chad gained its independence in 1960 and included no specific sanctions against homosexual acts. People found engaging in homosexual relationships will now be guilty of a misdemeanor offense punishable by a fine and suspended jail sentence. That's surely one of the lightest sentences for such a crime among the 77 countries that now outlaw same-gender lovemaking. Justice Minister Hamid Dahalab noted, in fact, that earlier proposals had included prison sentences of up to 20 years.
Previous reports of the political death of Gambian dictator Yahya Jammeh may have been premature. One of the world's most notorious homophobes has pushed genocidal anti-gay legislation and once threatened to slit the throats of all LGBT people. He's ruled the West African nation as its president with an iron fist since taking power in a 1994 military coup. Jammeh conceded defeat after the Electoral Commission certified on December 1st that his opponent, Adama Barrow, had won the presidential election by more than 4 percentage points. But Jammeh did an about-face on December 9th and declared the vote null and void because of what he called election abnormalities and demanded fresh and transparent elections, which will be officiated by a God-fearing and independent electoral commission. Barrow, a former security guard and property developer, has no government experience, and his thoughts on LGBT rights are not known. But equality activists hope he'll overturn some of Jammeh's most oppressive anti-gay policies. The UN Security Council is calling on Jammeh to relinquish power. In a unanimous statement, the 15 council members told him to respect the choice of the sovereign people of the Gambia.
Israel's Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit announced on December 8th that the country would recognize the civil marriages of gay and lesbian couples legally performed elsewhere for purposes of granting citizenship to the non-Israeli spouse. That option currently only applies to married heterosexual couples. The announcement responds to a petition filed in the High Court of Justice by the Gay Fathers Association challenging a provision referencing a man and wife in relevant Israeli citizenship laws. The announcement also made clear, however, that the change in policy doesn't represent a general recognition in Israel of the civil marriages of same-gender couples. In fact, civil marriages are not an option for heterosexual couples either. Religious authorities, generally either Jewish or Muslim, are the only ones allowed to marry couples in the country. Neither faith tradition in Israel endorses the marriages of lesbian or gay couples.
But Attorney General M. Todd Hembree of the Cherokee Nation declared this week that the U.S. Native American tribe's ban on the civil marriages of same-gender couples is illegal. The 12-page opinion, published online by the local Tahlequah Daily Press newspaper on December 9th, argues that a 2004 Cherokee law that defined marriage as being explicitly between a man and a woman is unconstitutional. The right to marry without the freedom to marry the person of one's choice, Hembree wrote, is no right at all. The sovereign Cherokee Nation is the largest tribal nation in the United States, with more than 317,000 citizens. Its capital is in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. The opinion goes into effect immediately. But longtime tribal council member Don Garvin told the Tulsa World newspaper that he expects his colleagues to support traditional marriage and overturn the decision.
Meanwhile, a judge in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, ruled this week that Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards' executive order banning bias against LGBT state government workers was unconstitutional. It prohibited discrimination in government and state contracts based on sexual orientation and gender identity. But District Judge Todd Hernandez said that the governor has no power to expand or create new state law. The decision came in a lawsuit filed by Republican Attorney General Jeff Landry. He said he challenged the governor's order to uphold the checks and balances on executive authority as established in our state constitution. Edwards says he'll appeal the ruling because discrimination is not a Louisiana value and we are best served as a state when employment decisions are based solely on an individual's qualifications and job performance. Louisiana is one of 28 U.S. states with no employment anti-discrimination protections for its LGBT citizens. And contrary to popular misconception, there is no federal law that bans anti-LGBT bias in the workplace. Landry is seen as a potential challenger to Edwards' re-election bid in 2019. His openly gay brother, Nicholas, took to YouTube to denounce his sibling's move against LGBT rights as uncalled for. Although I'm not political, Nicholas said, I am a human being and I just want my rights.
First-term U.S. Congressman Ryan Zinke of Montana, who once implied that sexual orientation is a choice and called Hillary Clinton the Antichrist, continued the parade of straight white men into the incoming administration of Donald Trump this week. He's the president-elect's pick for Secretary of the Interior. The first-term lawmaker earned a zero on LGBT rights from the Human Rights Campaign. He acknowledges that climate change exists, but says he's not convinced that it's caused by burning fossil fuels.
Former presidential candidate Rick Perry was nominated by Trump this week to head the Department of Energy. It's famously the agency he couldn't remember during a Republican presidential candidate's debate as one of the three he'd get rid of as commander-in-chief. Perry has compared same-gender attraction to alcoholism and led a staunchly anti-LGBT administration as governor of Texas.
ExxonMobil executive Rex Tillerson, who was rumored to be getting the nomination late last week, was confirmed by the Trump transition team this week to be the president-elect's pick for Secretary of State. Aside from concerns being expressed about the oil man's ties to Russian President Vladimir Putin, some equality activists have expressed concerns about how Tillerson will address LGBT rights issues abroad, especially compared to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Tillerson's global energy conglomerate was one of the last Fortune 500 companies to protect its LGBT workers from harassment and discrimination. On the other hand, as an Eagle Scout who served as president of the Boy Scouts of America from 2010 to 2012, Tillerson is said to have been instrumental in getting the organization to open its ranks to openly gay scouts in 2014 and then to out adult leaders a year later.
And finally this week, controversy has clouded the kickoff to Melbourne's Midsummer Festival, the major yearly celebration of all things queer in the Australian state of Victoria. There's been an outcry from the community over the continuing sponsorship of the event by the world's largest newspaper publisher, Rupert Murdoch's News Corp, since homophobic editorial cartoons started appearing in the Australian and other News Corp holdings. One depicted LGBT activists as high-stepping, rainbow-draped Nazi stormtroopers. Other editorial cartoons have attacked LGBT-inclusive sex education lessons and featured crude anti-queer stereotypes. an online petition convinced organizers to sever ties with News Corp, which meant losing substantial free advertising space for Midsema in the company's stable of newspapers as part of the sponsorship deal. A Sydney Morning Herald report confirmed the divorce, citing the organizers' statement lamenting the distraction that's affected the 130-plus artist and community groups who make up our Open Access Festival. "We are a small team trying to do big things for a large and very diverse community," they said. In a world that feels significantly more difficult for us all as we head into 2017.
Believe me.
That's News Wrap for the week ending December 17th, 2016. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm John Dyer V.
You're listening to This Way Out, brought to you by you. Your charitable donations keep this program on the air. We've produced some special CDs to say thank you to our supporters.
I'm Harvey Milk. I'm a supervisor in San Francisco, and I'm gay.
Both Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk have been shot and killed.
And here comes the National March on Washington for lesbian gay rights.
Today I finally get to look at the man that I love and say, will you please marry me?
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, Donald Trump!
As an African-American, as an openly gay man, and as an American, that frightens me.
Our latest CD special, Trump Drama and the Dawn of the Donald, is hot off the presses and available now at thiswayout.org. And remember, This Way Out's queer history CDs make unique holiday gifts, too.
Pulling out the holiday decorations from This Way Out's closet in preparation for the 2016 year-ending party to celebrate our 1500th program, we found a box marked 6-month anniversary highlights that we just had to open. Inside was this sampler from our first 6 months on the air in 1988, a very queer year, it seems.
Earlier this year, Parliament approved Clause 28 in the United Kingdom, which prohibits municipal funding of any group or activity which promotes homosexuality. Over 50,000 demonstrated against Clause 28 in London.
On its way, the march stopped outside Prime Minister Thatcher's residence in Downing Street, where the marchers made their feelings on this new legislation very clear. Bringing a message of solidarity from gay and lesbian brothers and sisters in North America was one of the organizers of the 1987 March on Washington, Robin Tyler.
Are they arresting people? Do I want to arrest all the gays and lesbians in England, guys? You're going to have to arrest millions and millions and millions of people. Yeah. We are everywhere. You cannot take us out.
Perry Watkins entered the Army at age 19 as an openly gay man. During a career that spanned 15 years in the military, Watkins received promotions, security clearances, and excellent job evaluations. He never hid that he was gay. He twice re-enlisted. Each time, the Army knew he was homosexual. Yet in 1981, the Pentagon decided that all known homosexuals had to be barred from military service, no matter how exemplary their record. The Army tried to discharge Sergeant Watkins, but Sergeant Watkins took the Army to court. In a seesaw legal battle that so far has lasted 7 years, he has yet to win the right to re-enlist and earn a military pension.
Being black and growing up, looking at it, discrimination is the same. It doesn't matter how you color it, how you paint it. You know, that's why I laugh a lot when people say, well, how can you deal with this, you know, all you've been going through? I grew up black. I've been discriminated against all my life. For somebody to discriminate against me because I'm gay is a joke.
Kate Clinton is a gutsy lady. She left her job as an English teacher at the age of 30 to become not just a stand-up comedian, but an out-of-the-closet, lesbian feminist stand-up comedian.
People assume that as a feminist I'm going to do a lot of anti-male humor. I don't really know him that well to make jokes about him.
Now, I think it's time that we have a new feminist TV network. PTL, praise the lesbians. And we'd have some early morning religious music. Oh, give me that old lesbianism. Give me that old lesbianism.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
In a three-day conference this past February, several hundred black lesbians and gay men convened in Los Angeles to discuss the emerging leadership in the black, gay, and lesbian communities throughout the country. Keynote speaker, California Assemblywoman Maxine Waters, challenged the listeners to rid themselves of fear in the face of racism, homophobia, and discrimination.
You're much stronger when you have no fear. You're much stronger when you understand people respect you more when you don't have fear. And you're much stronger when you rid yourself of fear because your natural actions are such that you move like a person without fear. And when people see people who are fearless coming, they get out of the way.
Lavelle Dorsey. Charlie Drucker.
I can't help but walk through those lines and lines and lines of panels and see people that I don't know. And the next thing I know, I'm crying.
On its third stop in the 1988 national tour of 20 American cities, the NAMES Project quilt, memorializing the tens of thousands of men and women who have fallen victim to the AIDS epidemic, made a stop in Phoenix, Arizona the weekend of April 16th. Housed in the Phoenix Civic Plaza, the massive quilt, in this case 61 squares of 32 name panels each, served as a quiet testament to the brothers and sisters, the sons and daughters, the mothers and fathers, and the friends and lovers who have died from AIDS.
These panels come from, you know, shirts and pieces of material or the things that were important to these people. That's what these panels are made out of.
I only wish more people in Phoenix had dared to visit this memorial to a war of apathy, indecision, public indifference, and red tape.
Chicago, city of the big shoulders. Making sense from the cornucopia of Chicago's great restaurant scene was the six-month project of Chicago editors and gastronomes Bill McBride and Jim Lasaki. The project culminated in the production of an astounding collection of recipes from 91 top Chicago eating establishments. The proceeds from the new cookbook benefits Chicago House, a not-for-profit corporation that operates residences for persons with AIDS.
We were walking to restaurants in the hot summertime. And when you walk in on a cook on a Saturday afternoon in a very nice restaurant, you know, and he's back there running his kitchen, and in comes this person through the alley back door, because that's how we learned how you get into kitchens, and that's where we needed to be. And there were a couple of times where not the nicest things were said, you know, kind of spicy comments.
With hunger pains and an urge to make some dishes dirty, in Chicago, the city of the big hips, I'm Barry Wick.
Three gay University of California, Los Angeles students filed suit against Disneyland for not allowing them to slow dance at the Magic Kingdom on April 11th.
We're fighting for the injunction to show Disneyland as well as other businesses of all kinds that you can't just walk all over somebody's civil rights because they're doing something that you don't particularly agree with.
So we gotta fight back. In large numbers, a fight back. I can't make it alone. Fight back. In large numbers, together we can make a safe home. Fight back.
I'm Roman Kalinin from Moscow. You are listening to This Way Out,
the showpiece of the homosexual movement in the United States.
Оставайтесь на нашей волне.
Stay on our wavelength.
we're meandering down memory lane through some highlights of our first 6 months on the air with some of the volunteer correspondents who've made This Way Out possible since April 1988, like Tim Richardson, Robin McCall, Anthony Price, Christopher McPherson, Barry Witt, Andrew Ross Exler, Rob Atkinson, Alan Ross, and John Zay. You'll hear from more old friends on next week's landmark This Way Out number 1500. But now, let's return to the year it all began.
This was the first time in Canada that a national political figure, or for that matter, a person at the provincial level, did say that he happened to be gay, and so I didn't really know what to expect.
Sten Robinson belongs to the New Democratic Party, the party that traditionally occupies the left of center in Canadian politics.
There's been a very important national debate. Even the kinds of very, very homophobic attitudes that have been displayed on the part of some, it's not a bad thing to have them exposed. And at the same time, I've just been enormously encouraged by the phone calls, the letters, the telegrams that I've gotten from literally right across the country, every province, every territory, small communities, big cities. It's really been really quite moving.
Initially, I saw the door, it was like partially cracked, and the door opened a bit. I looked up and nobody was there, and I didn't think anything of it. And I went back to having mutual oral sex with this man for about 45 seconds, and then all of a sudden I looked up again, and there was this officer standing in my bedroom door. And I asked him what he was doing there. It seemed like a pretty reasonable question.
Hardwick filed a civil suit at the Federal District Court to challenge the Georgia sodomy statute so that the kinds of intrusions into his bedrooms would cease. Unfortunately, he lost.
Get the court! Out of our bedrooms! Get the court! Out of our bedrooms!
Hardwick is a decision that relegates gay men and lesbians to the status of criminals in 25 states and the District of Columbia because of who we love.
Oklahoma, crime against nature, 10 years. Rhode Island, crime against nature, 7 years minimum.
We want the Supreme Court out of our bedrooms.
The court,
we want the government and police out of our bedrooms. We want the rights that all Americans want, including the most fundamental and basic of all rights, which is the right to be left alone.
Ain't no court supreme enough. Ain't no court supreme enough. Ain't no court supreme enough to keep me from my dreams. Ain't no court supreme enough.
No, no.
Ain't no court supreme enough. Ain't no court
no
supreme
way
enough
to
keep me from my dreams.
All the queers want equal rights, so should we have queers as cops?
They're out of their heads.
They are. Wrong. I think
it's stupid. Yeah, if they want to do their thing, let them go someplace else.
They want us to do what they want, and we don't want to do that.
They like for
That's
people to be gay.
Like. The way they're dressing, the way they're waving their arms.
Why don't you do things the way God made us to do it?
God gave
Is your mother and father a lesbian?
I know. God does not want two girls and two guys doing what half these people here are doing. They need help. Any person who is gay is sick.
Place over there, where will you be when they come?
They will not come a mob rolling through the streets, but quickly and quietly move into our homes to remove the evil, the queerness, the faggotry from their midst. They will not come clothed in brown and swastikas or bearing chests heavy with gleaming crosses. The time and need for such ruses are over. They will come in business suits to buy your homes and bring bodies to fill your jobs. They will come in robes to rehabilitate and white coats to subjugate. And where will you be when they come? Where will we all be when they come? And they will come. They will come because we are defined as opposite, perverse, and we are perverse. Every time we watched a queer hassled in the streets and said nothing, it was an act of perversion. Every time we lied about the boyfriend or girlfriend at coffee break, it was an act of perversion. Every time we heard, "I don't mind gays, but why must they be blatant?" and said nothing, it was an act of perversion. Every time we let a lesbian mother lose her child and did not fill the courtrooms, it was an act of perversion. Every time we let straights make out in our bars while we couldn't touch because of the laws, it was an act of perversion. Every time we let straight relatives bury our dead and push our lovers away, it was an act of perversion. And they will come for the perverts. And it won't matter if you're homosexual, not a faggot, lesbian, not a dyke, gay, not queer. It won't matter if you own your own business, have a good job, or an SSI. It won't matter if you're black, Chicano, Native American, Asian, or white. It won't matter if you're from New York or Los Angeles, Galveston, or Sioux Falls. It won't matter if you're butch or femme, not into roles, monogamous, non-monogamous. It won't matter if you're Catholic, Baptist, atheist, Jewish, or MCC. They will come. They will come to the cities and to the land, to your front rooms and in your closets. They will come for the perverts. And where will you be when they come?
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, Donald Trump.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Sarah Sweeney and John Dyer V contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. Teresa Troll, Bob Marley, Reflex, Holly Near, Diana Ross, The Bobby Fuller Four, Janice Lieber, and Chop Liver Productions, and Mary Watkins performed some of the music you heard, along with poetry from the 1979 March on Washington by Pat Parker. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you individual listener donors who make this program possible. There are three things you can do to add your support during our countdown to This Way Out number 1500. See what they are and what special gifts are under the tree for you at thiswayout.org. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon, wishing you and yours all the best during the holiday season. And thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WTND Macomb, Illinois, 2MIA Griffith, New South Wales, OPN Columbia, Missouri, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.